myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles. This is Indie Media on the Air. My name is Stephen Starr. I am joined in the studio by Chris Burnett.
Hey, what's up, Stephen?
So we got a great show today. As you all know, there is a big-time series of plans being made both in Boston, in New York, and in fact at all over the country at Indie Media Centers and other grassroots organizations to prepare for the conventions, both Democratic and Republican. And on the show today, we have guests from all over the country, in fact. We have joining us at the top of the hour will be Leslie Kagan, followed by Anna Nogueira and Sharpie, both representing respective IMCs in New York and Boston. And then we'll be joined by the Kensington Worker, the Kensington Welfare Rights Union, and they are going to be discussing the Poor People's March, which is going to be happening day one of the Republican National Convention. Here we are.
All right. Well, there are a number of organizations that have websites that are coordinating events, and I just want to, at the top, give out some URLs for people to read during the show. One at the top is rncnotwelcome.org. That's rncnotwelcome.org. There is the NLG, the National Lawyers Guild, which will be having, they have a page on what's going to be happening in New York. That's nlgnyc.org. There's a really great blog for good news and updates. That's rncwatch.typepad.com. That's rncwatch.typepad, T-Y-P-E-P-A-D.com. And then there's counterconvention.org. So there's a ton of websites for people to review, and we'll probably announce these later in the show.
First up, we are going to be joined on the air by Leslie Kagan, who I'm sure, as many of you know, was for quite some time during the transition our fearless interim chair of the Pacific National Board. She, concurrent with those efforts, has been one of the principal coordinators of United for Peace and Justice. And, Leslie, it is so great to have you on the show. Welcome.
Hi. I'm glad to be here with you all.
So Chris and I are sitting here on Indie Media on the Air, and we're going to try to tune our Los Angeles compadres and friends into what's happening in New York at the end of August. And I know you're right in the heart of the city right now, Leslie, with your hands full, I'm sure. Maybe you could give everybody a look at what United for Peace and Justice has been doing and what the organizations associated with UFPJ have been doing.
And some updates with the permit situation.
Sure, sure. We actually, a year ago, in June of 2003, decided to make as a major focus of our work this year, knowing that, of course, this is an election year, that a major focus of our work would be activities here in New York City around the Republican Convention. I should mention, by the way, that we're also very involved in helping to plan and organize activities at the end of this month up in Boston, where the Democratic Convention is being held. We are nonpartisan. We're a large coalition, about 811 groups all around the country, national organizations, statewide groups, local groups, community-based groups, all around the country working together. And, you know, we all feel it's very, very important, as I said, during this election year, to keep momentum going on some of the most pressing issues of the day. Obviously, a lot of our work has been around the situation in Iraq, trying to end the war in Iraq and the ongoing occupation. And I assume that your listeners, you know, are aware of the fact that this so-called transition of sovereignty in Iraq is a big sham, and that the occupation is still going on. So we are still very hard at work, you know, on that issue. And we believe that the conventions, you know, offer an opportunity for our activist movement to be out on the streets and again, you know, make our voices heard. So we here in New York, which is where our national office happens to be, and we do have a strong history and a strong base here in New York, but as I said, are in touch with people all around the country. We're organizing a massive demonstration demonstration on August 29th, which is actually the day, it's a Sunday, and it's the day before the convention opens. The convention actually begins on Monday, August 30th, at Madison Square Garden, right in the heart of New York City, and we're planning a march and a rally. The police have agreed that we will be able to march right in front of Madison Square Garden, which, of course, is a tremendous victory. What we're fighting with the city about, though, and it is a battle that we are engaged in, is where the rally will be at the end of the march. People might remember on February 15, 2003, we're the group, the same coalition that helped organize demonstrations all around the country, and especially here in New York City. We had about 500,000 people, and at that point, the city only granted us a permit to have a rally and wouldn't let us march. This time around, we're having a fight about where the rally is going to be. And it's the same administration, the same Mayor Bloomberg, who happens to be a Republican, who happens to have given $5 million of his own personal dollars to the Republican Party for the convention, and who happens to have rolled out the red carpet for the Republicans when they come to town, is making it very difficult for us to have a rally site that actually meets our needs for what promises to be a massive march, massive demonstration that day.
Leslie, what is the site that you're focusing on right now? What is your first choice?
Our first choice has been all along the Great Lawn in Central Park. For people who've been to New York and know Central Park, it's a terrific park. It's a wonderful park. We love it. And the Great Lawn, which is right in the middle of the park, is a very large open area with a massive area right on the edges of it where there are plenty of trees and, you know, places that people could find relief from the hot August sun. And so we requested that. It has a long history of massive events being held there. The city said no. We said, well, what about the North Meadow, which is also in Central Park, but it's further north. It's about 15 blocks further north. They said no to that. We said, what about Times Square? They said no to that. We said, well, let's go back to the Central Park option. What about giving us the North Meadow and the Great Lawn? The city keeps claiming that our demonstration is going to be so big that those areas can't accommodate the size crowd and that we'll do damage to the lawn. So we said, well, give us both the North Meadow and the Great Lawn and we'll divide people up. We'll have two simultaneous rallies. They said no to that. We said Third Avenue. They said no to that. So we have now put five different proposals on the table and they said no to each one. Instead, they want us to have our rally on the old West Side Highway all the way in the southern part of Manhattan, so that literally, if you look at a map of Manhattan, we would be literally on the west side of and the southern side of the island, marginalized. There's no other way to think about it.
I was at your, I think I it would not be too fine a point to say your No Nukes rally, the one that you put together in, I guess, 80 or 81, Leslie. And
it was 1982.
Or 82. And right. I recall being on the Great Lawn after the fact, and the place was spotless. The
right.
People who were on site there cared enough about why they were there to keep it clean and keep it whole. And I don't expect the same crowd to act in any other way.
Right. Well, we actually, that demonstration, that was June 12, 1982, and it was a disarmament march and rally. There's a long, interesting history there, but one really interesting thing is that the Parks Department at that point didn't want us there either. The Police Department convinced the mayor that with such a large turnout, there was no other place to put us but in the park. And so they overrode the decision of the Parks Commissioner. The day after that demonstration, and people can do the research, it's in the archives in the New York Times, the then Parks Commissioner was quoted as saying, had he known that things would go so smoothly, he never would have fought the idea of us being in the park in the first place, and that we left the park cleaner than it was before we came into it. So it is possible to do massive events without ruining the park.
Leslie, I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. One is, this is the first time in the 150-year history of the RNC that they've chosen New York for their convention. Maybe speculate on why that is. And number two, given the Miami situation with the level of police violence, are you concerned about that kind of violence being conducted on part of the police, and what are you doing to prevent it or organize, you know, with that understanding?
Well, the the issue about when the Republicans are coming to New York and why they're coming to New York at all is, I think, you know, a really interesting one. The Republican Party has never had a gathering of this sort, a national nominating convention in New York City, and this is the latest the convention has ever been. And it's very clear that they picked New York and they picked this date to be as close to the date and place and the location of the horrors of 9/11 and the terrible, you know, attack of 9/11, and they are trying to use it, you know, for their own political ends. And New Yorkers are rejecting that. New Yorkers are saying, no, you can't get away with that. We are concerned about how the police will behave. And by police, I don't only mean the New York City police. We don't know yet what other police agencies or policing units, you know, might be called into the city. But I know, for instance, in Miami last year, around the FTAA demonstrations in the fall, there was something like 40 different police agencies that were used, various city and county and state and federal policing agencies that were called in there. You know, New York City already has a massive police department. It's somewhere between 38 and 40,000 people. It's bigger than most cities in this country. And there's a long history of problems, especially in communities of color, with the police department. Just the other day, three police officers were accused of beating up an African-American man who had done nothing wrong. So, you know, there's always incidents like that, especially, as I said, in people of color communities. And there's a recent history of very serious problems with the police at major demonstrations. Our own February 15th demonstration in 2003, the police behaved awfully. I mean, they arrested more than 300 people. People were beaten. People were pushed around by horses, trampled on by horses. I mean, there's all kinds of problems. So we are concerned. There is great public awareness about this, and even the city council has passed a resolution calling on the police, you know, to treat the whole process of demonstrations and protests in a civil and respectful way. Nonetheless, we'll see what they do. You know, it's hard to know what's going to happen.
Well, I think the concern is that that issue hanging over people will discourage people from coming to New York to, you know, express their First Amendment rights and participate in a demonstration. And I think that, you know, the message should probably be very clear that we are going to, you know, monitor the police and their activities and make it a safe place for people to come.
Yeah, we know that part of what the police, not only in New York, we think there's a national problem, that increasingly there's a kind of, a clampdown. I don't know what else to call it, but a kind of closing down of spaces for public dissent and public protest. And it comes in different ways. So one way it comes is by doing massive policing at demonstrations, even permitted, you know, perfectly legal demonstrations, where you just have massive numbers of police officers with all their paraphernalia, all their very dangerous paraphernalia, and it is intimidating, and it can be quite frightening, especially if you're not prepared for it. We think the best antidote to that, if you will, is to make sure that people know that, you know, the quickest way to lose your rights, including your constitutionally protected rights, is to not use them. And that we defend our right to protest by actually protesting. We defend our right to march and rally by actually organizing marches and rallies. And we encourage people to be there with us. The larger our presence is, the safer, the more secure our activities will be, to say nothing of sending a louder and stronger message through our numbers.
Leslie, there are a lot of people listening both online and here in the L.A. area today. And for those who are interested in coming to New York and in making their travel arrangements, what have you, are there resources available that you'd recommend they take a look at?
Yes, actually through the No RNC Clearinghouse, actually through the Counter Convention website, there are ride boards set up, and we'll be linking. I should have checked our own website before I got on this call. If it's not there yet, it will be shortly, a link from our website to the various ride boards. We are encouraging people to come in from all around the country. Obviously, we know from California it's a big trip, but we know some people are planning to come. And you can, you know, go to our website at www.unitedforpeace.org. UnitedForPeace.org, and all the information is right up at the top of the website. There's something you can click on for the Republican convention, and you can get updates and what's going on and copies of leaflets. And actually, I'm looking now. You can see that the RIE board is linked right there. Also housing boards, the people who are planning to stay. We do encourage people to come. To come to New York, not only for the August 29th demonstration that we're doing, but to stay for as many days as you can. There'll be a whole week of different actions, all of which are important. So, we hope people will make the trip.
Before we lose you, Leslie, just one more thing. What's your hope for the outcome of the March on the 29th and the events around it?
Well, what we really hope is a few things. One is that we send a very loud and clear message, not just to the delegates who are gathering inside the Republican convention, but that we send the message out around the country and indeed around the world that there is a strong, active, dynamic movement for peace and justice, for economic and social justice, and a movement that opposes the kind of foreign policy that this administration, and I dare say previous administrations too, have acted on. So what we want to do is say, not only do we oppose this administration and the policies of the Bush gang, I don't know what else to call them, but that this movement is not going away, that we're going to be active not only this summer and this fall through Election Day, but regardless of who wins the elections this year. And, come January 2005, our movement will be on the streets. We will be in our communities. We will be organizing. We will be making our voices heard. We're not going away, and that, we will work together and find the best way possible to make the changes that really have to be made.
Leslie, I just want to, again, let our listeners know you've been hearing from Leslie Kagan, who is one of the principal organizers of United for Peace and Justice, our former Pacifica board interim chair who rode harness here as we made the massive transition back to the listener base, a profound experience for all. Leslie, just thank you from all of us here. Hope many of us get to see you in New York, and we know you've been working real hard on all of this and your incredibly large crew of people. And we look forward to seeing you there. Thanks for joining us today.
Yes, thank you very much.
And next up, we have Anna from Indie Media in New York City. Anna, are you there?
I am. Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
Thanks for joining us.
No problem. It's a great with you.
I just want to say, Anna, I'm looking at Alan Minsky and Chris Burnett here and me, and the three of us were among the many who got to watch the 2000 D2K Indie Media, the explosion here is the best way to put it. We had 1,200 journalists join us in 2000. I expect you'll probably triple that in New York.
Wow.
For our listeners, Anna is among the folks who have been working very hard for a very long time to organize the New York Indie Media efforts around the convention. And thanks so much for making the time today, Anna. It would be great if you could give our listeners kind of a broad view of where you guys are right now and how it's shaping up.
Well, if we're expecting triple what you saw in D.C. In L.A., that's making me even more nervous. No, but there's a lot of energy and excitement here to create a very large independent media center with a strong presence that can put the issues out that the protesters are going to be putting out onto the street, because we know we can't really rely on the corporate media to do that. They're going to be locked into the Madison Square Garden press office. The Republican convention, the Republican National Committee has built a bridge from the post office to Madison Square Garden so that the reporters never even have to go out into the street to cover the convention. So it'll be interesting to see how they report on it. So there's a tremendous amount of energy here. Right now we're just trying to find a big enough space for all those people who are coming to town to report on it for all their local community stations and public access stations. And that's, as Leslie said, space in New York City is a big issue, not just in terms of pricing, but I think a lot of people are a little afraid of what might come upon them via the police if they offer space to grassroots groups who shed a positive light on the message the protesters are bringing to the streets. So that is a task that's before us still. But we have had some interest from art galleries and mostly art galleries, actually, who really are want to protect the freedom of speech in this country and respect and support grassroots media efforts to that end. So that's what we're pursuing right now in full force.
Can you give us some examples of the types of groups that we'll be forming around Indie Media and what people can plug into?
Sure. Yeah, actually, there are so many different media organizations, independent media organizations in New York City, that we're actually forming a broader coalition, even broader than the network of independent media centers. In New York, it's called the New York City Grassroots Media Coalition. And in it are, you know, the New York City Indie Media is one of them. So is Paper Tiger Television, Manhattan Neighborhood Network, NYU Oppositional Media, which is a newspaper that some NYU students just started up, La Luta Media Collective, which is a video collective up in Upper Manhattan. Tons of different groups, The Point out in Brooklyn, hopefully some other newspapers via the Independent Press Association. They have a whole network of community newspapers in the city, hundreds of them. So we're reaching out to them and trying to form a really massive media, independent media presence here. And that networking is going really well. We're also, of course, working with all the indie media centers around the country via listservs, communicating, trying to get them up to speed on what it's going to look like when they get on the ground so they can immediately hit the computers and the video cameras and the audio mini disc recorders. So we're all just working really hard to make sure that the infrastructure is here to get information out as it's happening. Also, a very exciting development, besides the media space that we're still looking for media production work, another art gallery, a smaller one, has offered up their space to be a showcase for independent media work. So they're a multimedia gallery, and several artists that use multimedia have offered their tools that they've built to display independent media work. There'll be a photo gallery on the wall. There'll be monitors in the windows and in the walls and in cubicles. And they have a massive media list. So they want to really push our message and get the media into their space to see the kind of amazing work that independent journalists produce. So we'll have a public showcase, if you will, besides the space that we'll be producing in.
Where do people get information if they want to come into New York and participate?
Well, for indie media stuff, you could go to NYC. Let me make sure I have the correct URL. nycgrassrootsmedia.org. And it's that URL /mediaspace if you want to register to come into the space. There's also, I mean, you were asking, Leslie, for you know, where people can find tips. There's a great, there's two things. There's a great guide called RNC Guide, and you can find that at rncguide.com, which lists all the information you might need to know when you're here, everything from where to stay, where to eat, and where to go to the bathroom, where all the locations are, where the Republicans will be at all week, where the headquarters of certain war profiteer corporations are, and that just went live today or yesterday. So you could go to, as I said, rncguide.com. RNC Watch is another URL, rncwatch.org. Three indie media, New York City IMC journalists put that together. It's a blog that just outlines all the news that's coming up around the RNC as it unfolds. Stories that are breaking about the Republicans and or the police and how they are organizing around the RNC. So those are some places to go to keep you updated.
How are the police organizing around the IMC or the RNC? I'm sorry.
Around the RNC?
Yeah.
Well, as Leslie said, I mean, I think that is, they've been very elusive as to what they exactly plan on doing. I think we can expect the same thing we've seen before in New York City. Not so much the Miami model. I think that would be harder for them to pull off here, but more just the closing people in. And I mean, they've designated one intersection as the designated protest zone, and I think we all know that there'll be many more people that can fit in one New York City intersection. And I don't know exactly what they plan to do when, you know, hundreds of thousands of people show up. All that is still to be seen, and I think Leslie spoke to that.
Could you, Anna, describe let's assume you find the space problem works itself out, and you have a 4,000 or 5,000 square feet of an independent media space active for independent media folks to come participate in. Could you give people a sense of what that space looks like?
Sure. Well, Indie Media has organized many media convergence centers or media production centers at big events like this, and this will look very much like that. Basically, it's a large space that, you know, that offers media production facilities for all types of mediums. So there'll be a video editing station or stations and video logging dub stations where you can bring in your tapes right off the street and someone will be there to log it, know what's on it, and immediately give it to a team that's going to be hopefully compiling all of this, both for to give to legal if they need it, and they'll be basically the video team is producing a one-hour daily show the week of that is going to air through Manhattan Neighborhood Network to Free Speech TV and through them to many other public access television stations around the country. Hopefully we'll get that online as well. The audio team will be working. There'll be many audio editing stations and an audio studio where people will be coming in off the street for live interviews on a 24/7 webcast. Hopefully we're also talking to numerous radio stations here in New York City, WBAI being one of them, to collaborate on getting, you know, street reporters, indie media street reporters on the air as things are breaking. We've developed in, over the past few years, a very good dispatch system for these kinds of events where if somebody calls into the Indie Media Center, we can immediately send out teams of video, audio, print, photo directly to the scene while also getting the person who's already there on the air. Traditionally, that has been through web radio stations, but we're hoping to get it through many radio stations in New York City area. Of course, there'll be a photo team that is constantly putting photos up on our website, and the newspaper here, The Independent, will be producing, well, we've already started producing issues that distributed, I mean, the last one we just printed was an RNC special. We printed 15,000 copies and they were gone in just a couple of days. I mean, people are super hungry for this information already.
Wow.
And we were distributing just yesterday at Union Square and they were flying out of our hands and we were getting winks and shakes and, you know, fists up in the air. I mean, everybody is on board with this. I think they've had enough of the Bush administration and they're not going to be silent, I don't think. So the newspaper is just going to keep going full force with that. We've got, you know, 11 or 12 volunteers a week, new faces in the door saying, I'll do graphics, I'll do photo, I'll write, I'll edit, whatever the case may be. And we're going to bump up our distribution to about 20,000 in early August and hopefully reach 50,000 the week before the convention comes to town. And then during the convention, hopefully be able to have enough funds to produce another newspaper that we distribute on the streets, and then again another one afterwards.
Can you give people a link to the issue that was just distributed and where they might find those issues as they come up?
Sure. You can find it on, actually, it's just put on the global Indie Media site, indiemedia.org. It's also on nyc.indiemedia.org. And the Independence website is still in construction, so I won't give that URL right now, but you can find all the issues on New York City, nyc.indiemedia.org. Clamor Magazine is another media, well, they're a magazine that's distributed through Barnes & Noble all over the country, and they've just come out with two really special issues that they'll be distributing en masse during the Republican National Convention as well. I believe their URL is clamormag.org. That's also worth checking out. Lots of really good information in there.
Maybe give us a sense of what You referred to people's reaction on the street and that people are fed up with the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a sense of what that's like and, you know, what people are talking about with the RNC coming to New York City for the first time in 150-year history.
But before you do that, we're going to take the fastest break in history to do our station ID. And you're listening to KPFK.org, KPFK FM, 90.7 Los Angeles, and on the web you can hear it at 90.7kpfk.org. And we have a Santa Barbara frequency as well, and 98.7. I'm sorry, my notes are not in front of me as usual. So we're going to just take a very brief break with a promo and come right back to you, Anna, to answer the question Chris asked.